what are we talking about today? We've been in this series called Life's Questions, right? And the way that we answer these questions that we've been talking about, whether we ever think about it or not, we answer these questions, and how we answer these questions really shapes our lives. So it's good to think about them, right? If it's going to shape and direct your life, how you answer these questions, it's good to think about them. And from the phone calls and text messages and conversations that I've been having lately, a lot of people are thinking about these things. So it's really, really great. Even if you don't like the things that I say, if you are thinking about it, then that's a success. We got a win there. The first week we started off with this big question of who am I? And the truest thing about you is what? Come on. God loves you. God loves you, man. I thought that would be so easy to remember. The truest thing about you is that God loves you, that you are God's delight, that you are God's treasure, that God created you and made you because God wants to delight in your living, and because God wants you to be, to love you. And no matter what happens to you, no matter what you do, no matter what you don't do, and all your wins and all your losses, that will never change, that you are God's delight, you are God's treasure, you are the one that God loves. And it's also the truest thing about every person that you meet, no matter how wonderful or how terrible that they are, the truest thing, no matter how marred this image of God is in their life or even in your life is, the truest thing about them is that they are so incredibly precious to God. Maybe we'll do a little bit better on this next one. Last week, the question was, are people basically good? And there's a terrible answer with this. What's the answer? No. Oh, man. Love for it to be a different answer. And just pretty thoroughly unpacked that one last week, that everywhere that we look, every place that we take this question to, are people basically good? Man, the answer is no. And it takes a lot of work and crafting and intentionality to form a good person, right? Somebody that's reasonably good. That we're not basically good. Terrible. But what that means is that we can't save ourselves. We're not the hope that we've been waiting for. And all of these things kind of have political implications and societal implications. And you know, the big thing that I've been trying to get at in all of this stuff is not, I don't really care a whole lot about your political leanings, but about the heart that is underneath that stuff. And one of the important things with the heart that's underneath this thing, are people basically good, is where do we put our hope? Where do we put our hope?
Jesus.
That's right. I mean, there are better and worse political ideas, for sure. But at the end of the day, if it is done by people, if it is planned and organized by people and written by people and implemented by people, there's going to be corruption and oppression in the system. It's going to be broken because there is brokenness in each and every one of our beauties. And so the only place that we put our hope is this one that can heal us, that can change human nature, that can take out our heart of stone and give us a heart of the spirit and heart of flesh, and the one that will one day bring the kingdom of heaven, where all things are as God has them to be, and will bring that to earth, so that the society and the kingdom and the reality that our hearts long to live in will be ours, and we will live that way forever and ever. Our only hope is in Jesus. We get pretty excited about our own political ideas and opinions and things like that. And that work and that labor is really important. It really, really is. Think living in North Korea versus living in Switzerland. It's a difference, you know? But our ultimate hope is in Jesus. And this week, the question that we're getting into is, why am I here? And this is one that is so important to each and every one of us. So important. Because all of us, we have one and only life, right? And that time is just slipping away. It's just slipping away. There's very, very few of us in this room that will ever be 10 again, or 15, or 30, many of us, or 50, or 40, and all of that stuff. Kim, the thermostat's right there if that needs fixing. And we don't want to get to the end of our life, and we don't even want to get to the middle of our life and look back and see that we wish we had made some significant course corrections. We wish that that we lived our life pursuing the wrong things. We wish that we had lived into some life of meaning and purpose, and we had figured out at some point why we were here and lived into that, and it didn't take us till the middle or the end to figure that out. My great grandfather was a pastor, and there is a quote that from this older minister. He was an old abolitionist that he would reference a lot, and the guy's name is John Greenleaf Whittier. And the saying is this: of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. Has anybody ever heard that before? Okay. Of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these, what might have been, it might have been. Nobody wants that to be the epitaph of their life. Nobody wants that engraved on their tombstone, what might have been, what might have been, or it might have been. We want to get it right. We want to know why we're here. We want to know what our purpose is and to live that out. And when we don't know, it haunts us. And when we answer that wrong, it leads to so much heartache and regret, and sometimes even suffering. So the good news for us, as far as all of the questions that we're delving into, is that Jesus answers this one so quickly and so directly. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty great. And his answer to this beats out everybody's answer by a million miles. If you take this question to anybody else, for the most part, you're going to get one of two answers. The first one would be kind of a career-oriented answer. If you go to a life coach, not a career coach, but a life coach, and you ask them, hey, help me figure out what my life purpose is, they're generally going to give you, you're going to walk away with a career-oriented kind of life purpose. For example, if you're a teacher and you go and talk to them, you might walk away with, my life purpose is to liberate young minds through education. Wow, that sounds great, right? You know, if you could say, hey, what do you do? Well, I liberate young minds through education. Wow, tell me about that. That sounds so impressive. Well, how do you do that? Like, well, I teach second grade. Well, that sounds, tell me more about this liberating young minds through education. I mean, it's a great way to couch your career purpose. But not your life. But not your life. Because what happens when summer break comes? Then are you wasting all of that time because you're not living into your purpose? What happens when you go home and you spend time with your family? Is that all just a waste because you're not living out your purpose? You're just wasting that time? Because you're not liberating, you know, directly maybe young minds through education? Maybe through making spaghetti or something, but not, you know. What happens if you get sick, you know, and you then getting sick or getting hurt or getting injured and you can't do your thing anymore? Does that mean that your life has lost its purpose, and that you've lost your meaning, you've lost your reason to be here? What happens when you get older and maybe you can't do that thing anymore, or maybe they don't want you to keep doing that thing anymore? Then is your life without purpose, is without meaning? A career, what I am getting at here is that a career purpose, anything like that, a career-oriented definition is a terrible way to answer this question of why am I here. And that is one of the two things you're going to hear if you take that to anybody except Jesus. The other one sounds so wonderful also. If you go and ask, hey, help me figure out why am I here? What is my purpose? They might say, well, just look inside. Well, just look inside. Oh, what a rubbish, garbage answer. You know, if you take anything that's like an incredibly complicated object, and by the way, if you are a human being, and I think everyone here is, you know, you are the most complicated object in the universe. You are. You are the most complicated object in the universe. So let's say that you have an object, just a what's it, and you don't know what this thing does. It's a complicated object or what it's for. There's only two ways to find out. One, you ask the maker, the one who made it, or you read the materials provided by the maker. That's it. You're like, oh, this is what it's for. So Jesus, sent by God to reveal to us, sent by our maker to reveal so much to us, and part of which is why we are here, what our purpose is, he begins his ministry right off the bat and basically says, hey, this is who you are and why you're here. This is why you're here. And this is so big, and I'm about to tell it to you. It's not real complicated. Mark Twain says that the two most important days of your life, I don't know if anybody's heard this, are the day that you were born and the day you find out why. So if you don't know the answer to why, this could be one of the most important, two most important days in your whole life. So here we go. When we take this question of why am I here? What is my purpose? What is the purpose of this incredibly complicated object here, this incredibly complicated thing, to Jesus? This is what he says, that you are here to shine. You are here to shine. You are here to shine so that others can see. You are here to shine in dark places. Right off the bat, Jesus says, in Matthew 5:14, he's just beginning to speak to his disciples and his followers, beginning his ministry, and he says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill can't be hidden. Also, people don't light a lamp and they put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it up on a stand. This is what you're to be for. This is what you're to be. In every environment, every situation, every relationship that you walk into, every circumstance that you go into, you are here to shine. You are here to shine. You are here to shine. Then it gives light to everyone in the house. And then they can what? They can see. When you have light, put light in a dark room, then they can see. In the same way, let your light shine so that others can see it. So they can see what? Seeing the room is really important. Seeing the environment is really important. But also seeing the what? See it. The light. See the light. Then they will see the good things that you do. And they will bring glory to your Father who is in heaven. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, in every environment, in every situation where you're driving around or you're talking to somebody, you're navigating work, or you're arguing with that terrible person that's your coworker. Your purpose in that situation is to shine in such a way that people say, wow, God is good. God is good. I see something different in this person. I see something different in this situation. I see something different coming out of this person. It's like light and goodness and something that I am not used to experiencing. There is some light shining in to this situation. That's your life purpose, is to shine so that others can see, to shine into dark places. That's it. Amen. Just kidding. Oh, Jordan would be so happy. I hope all of you have read the Chronicles of Narnia. Especially if you have children, read the Chronicles of Narnia to them. I don't care if they've gotten to be 45 years old. Go get the books and read Chronicles of Narnia to your kids. Written by C.S. Lewis. And the last book in this series is called The Last Battle. And there's two characters that step into heaven at the end. And they're talking about what it's like. It's this little girl named Lucy and this other man named Mr. Tumnus. And they've just stepped into heaven and they're talking about what they see and what they're experiencing. And Mr. Tumnus says this, the further up and the further in you go, the bigger everything gets. The further in and the further up you go, the bigger everything gets. The inside is larger than the outside, speaking about heaven. It's like an onion, except as you go in and in, each circle is larger than the last. As you go in and in, each circle is larger than the last. They're talking about heaven. But a lot of things, so many things with God are like that. The further in and the further up you go, the bigger that it gets. And this is certainly true of your purpose and your reason for being and your why you are here. You are here to shine so that others can see. You're here to shine in dark places. But the further in you go and the further up you go, the bigger that this gets, the bigger that it gets. And I want to take a few steps, just three steps into this with you. And I hope that you'll spend the rest of your life unraveling this and unpacking this and living into this. What does this mean for me to shine? What does this mean for me to shine so others can see? What does this mean, God, that you created me for this purpose? What does it mean, God, that you created me to shine in this environment? What would that look like in this difficult environment? What could it have looked like in the situation that I was just in, or that one that I still think about from 10 years ago? What would it have looked like if I could redo that one and shine in that one? What would it be like for me to live out this life purpose to the best of my understanding, to shine in dark places? I hope you continue to unravel that, unpack that, all the days of your life. All the days of your life until you hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to take three little unravelings today, three little steps into that place, into this thing that gets bigger and bigger as you go further in. The first one, where does the light come from? Where does this light come from that we are to shine so that others can see? Is it your own inner brilliance and radiance and light? No. No. It's God's light. It's the light of God. We shine because we allow the light of God to shine through us, the goodness of God, the light of God, the life of God. It's not our own brilliance that we're allowing to shine through us. We go into different situations and different environments, and we are allowing the life of God to shine through us. How exhausting and how backward is that if we try out of our own amazingness, which you don't have and I don't have, to just light up a situation? No. It's the light of God that we are allowing just to flow through us. Whatever the situation is, it's God's light, that we let the love of God shine through us, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the gentleness of God to shine through us so that other people can see it, the self-control of God, the faithfulness of God to shine through us to other people in that situation and in that environment. It's God's light that is our purpose to let shine through us into the places that we work and into the lives of our family members, into our friends, into our neighbors. That's all that we're doing. We're not sharing something out of our own energy. You know, we're sharing something out of the energy and the vitality and the life of God. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? And it comes from this life that we were meant to have, that you are meant to live a life where you are in a loving relationship with God, where God loves you and you accept that and you just love God back, and God loves you and you love God, and God loves you and you love God. And there is a light and a life and a vitality that flows out of that. And you're not shooting out sparkling light to other people out of your own amazingness, but out of who God is and of the life of God. And the thing that you are excited about and passionate about and is driving your life is not how amazing you are, but that you love God and that God loves you and that you're accepting that and you've opened yourself up to that and that it's changing your life and that you have so much light and goodness and life to offer to other people. Not because it's yours to offer, but because it's God offering it to people through you. This light and the shininess, it comes from God. And when our relationship with God fades and when it dims, our ability to shine fades and dims. We may keep on doing good things. Like Jesus said, let your good deeds so shine before men that they will praise your Father in heaven. Well, guess what? You can keep on doing good things, even better good things, long after your shininess has stopped shining. Long after you have become dull and dark even. we may still be there. Our actions may even be more actions, but we won't be the same. We will be burnt out. We will be judgmental. We will be critical of others. We'll be distracted. We'll be full of ourselves. We'll be self-absorbed. If our life doesn't come from God, we don't have light. And we have to do, the important thing to take away from this one is that we have to do whatever it takes to keep that relationship, that romance alive in our life, that key romance that we were meant to live into, to protect that relationship, to live into it. And the times when we feel like it and the times when we don't feel like it, we nurture that and we take care of it, because that's the life that we're meant for, and that is key and vital and central to why we were here and the purpose of our everyday breathing, walking around life is this life with God. The second little step here is that first one is that our light isn't our own, that it comes from God. The second one is that we learn to shine from Jesus. We learn to shine from Jesus. God sent Jesus here to teach us who God is and to learn to shine, to learn who we are, how to live. The Gospel of John opens up with saying this. In the beginning, the Word was already there. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through Him, and nothing that has been made was made without Him. Life was in Him, and that life was the light for all people. Jesus, the light, came into the world to shine so that we could see. Jesus was the light that came into the world to shine so that we could see. Jesus came so that you could see, to shine in dark places. That's why Jesus came, to live out the same purpose that is your purpose, and to say, see how I am shining? See the light of God that I am shining and casting out into the world. In every environment that I walk into, I bring the light of God. Shine like this. I want you to be able to see it and touch it and taste it and smell it, so you're not confused and you're not lost, and you see, like, this is what you were made for. Hebrews 1:3 says that Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. The shininess of God's shininess. If we want to know who God is, if we want to know what God is like, if we want to know how God acts, how God responds, what the nature of God fleshed out, we look to Jesus. If we want to know what it looks like to shine and what we are here for, we look to Jesus. Jesus, when He was sleeping and when He was eating, He was shining. When He was teaching people amazing teachings, He was shining. When He was just walking, He was shining. When He was going toe-to-toe with the religious leaders of the day, He was shining. When He was standing silent before His accusers, He was shining. When He stretched His hands out on the cross and breathing His last, He was shining. And when He rose up from the dead, He was shining. And I see the life of Christ shining in so many of you, and I hope that you can see that in me. Jesus is the one that teaches us to shine. Jesus is the one that teaches us to shine. Third thing, fleshing out, just little bits of fleshing out of what this means for us to shine into dark places. If our purpose is to shine for others so that others can see, then others are really, really important, right? Others are really, really important. Jesus, the one that we follow, the one that taught us to shine, acted and told stories over and over again how important others are, especially others who are far away. He told stories of leaving the 99 and leaving them even vulnerable and going after the one that was lost and celebrating when he got that one lost sheep back. About the old widow that turned everything over in her house to find her lost coin and then calls her friends and says, "Rejoice with me. There's something that was lost and is now found." Tells the story of the lost son. "Hey, I've got one good son. I've got, you know, he's still at home. Everything's fine." No. The heart of God is bent towards this lost son. Loves both of his sons. Loves both of them. But runs out to this lost son when he sees him walking down the road and throws his arms around him and says, rejoice, kill the fattened calf, throw a party. My son was lost and is now found. If we are to shine like Jesus, if we are to live out our purpose, our reason for being at our home and our work and in our everyday going around life, that others have to be important. Others have to be important. Convince somebody that they're loved. Convince somebody that they're loved. Convince somebody that they're not alone. Convince somebody that they matter. Try to help somebody see themselves the way that God sees them. And that's only going to work if you begin to see other people the way that God sees them. As a delight, as a treasure, as the truest thing about them is not their grating personality or the way that they run your office or your school or whatever it might be or the things that they've done. But the truest thing is and always will be about them that they are so incredibly important and precious and loved to God. Find somebody and help them see how amazing and precious they are to God. Find somebody that feels alone and let them know that they're not alone. Make them know that. Shine in dark places. Love people that don't like you. Love people that you don't like. Find circumstances and situations that are dark. And people that are living in circumstances and situations that are dark. And shine the love and the light and the goodness and the power and the beauty of God in those dark and those ugly places. Let the light of God flow through you into those places. If we are to shine so that others can see, others are so important. Others are so important. Jesus teaches us how to shine. And the light isn't ours. It comes from God. It comes from God. These three things, they just scratch the surface. They just scratch the surface. And I hope that you and I will spend the rest of our lives fleshing out more and more what this means to live out our purpose, to shine in dark places, to shine so that others can see. And the further in we go, the bigger. And the further in we go, and the further up we go, the bigger things get. Further in and further up, the bigger it gets. It's a good journey. It's a good journey. And every moment and every season and every situation of life, remember why you're here. Remember why you are here, and you are here to shine. You're here to shine so that people see the light. They see the light of God. And it changes you and it changes this world. Remember why you're here. Amen.